Well, hello, Baltimore, Birdland, and beyond. Welcome back to episode 34 of Bleacher Birds. 34, Mark Hendrickson episode of Bleacher Birds. Sound about right, Matthew?
I got no idea.
All right. Well, there you go. So once again, guys, welcome back. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, all sorts of happy holidays to all of our listeners out there. We wish you nothing but the best. We appreciate you guys listening to us during your holiday break. Once again, we hope to just, like Chris Davis, knock it out of the park. So, Matthew, how are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good. I am just waiting on Christmas, man.
Are you all set?
I got
everything bought?
Oh, yeah, we're done.
That's good.
But I got three more days of work, and then I'm off for 5 days straight.
Oh, nice.
I'm good, yeah.
Yeah, I've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 3 more days of work, and then I'm off for 3 days straight.
Did you go back?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, man, you go back Sunday?
I think I go back Sunday. I'll have to double-check my schedule. Maybe I'm off Thursday, Friday, go back Saturday, and then I'm off Sunday.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know. Either way, I planned it so I wouldn't miss the Ravens game. That was the game plan.
Oh, there you go. Okay. They're playing Sunday next week?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
We'll have to figure that one out.
We will soon, I guess, right?
What are we, a sports podcast? How are we supposed to figure out those things?
Who knows?
So you got your gifts all bought and everything's all set and ready?
Yep, everything's wrapped under the tree.
Wow. Good to go. Everything's wrapped and under the tree, huh? You gonna mm-hmm. leave any room for Santa Claus? Go ahead, drop a few presents underneath that tree.
He'll leave it on the front porch. Nobody's allowed in here. Quarantine and all that, you know.
Now look, Santa Claus was given the shot by the doctor. I saw that online.
Wait, he was the first one to get it.
What was that guy's name? Doctor what?
Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, he said that he administered the shot himself to Santa Claus. So Santa Claus was good to go into people's homes.
All right. How did you forget Dr. Fauci? I bet you he's going to be like the Times Man of the Year. I can't think of another more famous person this year.
Oh, actually the Time Man of the Year, Time People of the Year has already been decided, and that's our next president and vice president. Where have you been?
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So, honestly, I thought it should be the there's a big to-do with people thinking that it should be like the medical people working in the fields, and I truly think that they're deserving of that. But once again, the grocery workers of America who've been working through this pandemic the entire friggin' time are being overlooked yet again. Underappreciated, overlooked, being walked all over. But hey, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You need your own
magazine to recognize you guys.
That's right. Maybe I will go ahead and publish my own magazine recognizing us.
Maybe Mad Magazine or something like that.
So,
well, you ready? You're finished shopping, right?
Yes and no. And I'll tell you what's going on. So I've got all of my gifts purchased. And thanks to the wonderful postal service, the wonderful post office of the country that we have here, USPS, United States Postal. You may have to edit that. I don't know. They've just been dropping the ball left and right. And every time that they say that there's a package coming, that all of a sudden the package doesn't come, or it's being delayed. Your package is still on the way, but it's delayed. And, let's see if I don't even think I still have the latest, email form. Otherwise I'd love to read it from you or read it for you here. Let's see here. USPS.
Well, what I've been getting is just, no.
There you go. I got it.
Okay.
Hello, Jim. Your package will arrive later than expected, but it's still on its way. It is currently in transit to the next facility. And then it gives you a tracking number.
Yeah, that's what I've pretty much been getting. Like, it's going to be late, and we have no estimated delivery.
Yeah. It's like, gee, thanks. You guys are so helpful. And it's like, it's no wonder why, the post office is potentially in danger of going out of business, you know?
Well, come on, man. You got to think about it. Well, think about, you're talking about grocery workers. Think about the postal workers. You got every single person shopping online
mm-hmm.
and getting stuff delivered.
Yeah, but every single person is usually going through Amazon because they can depend on Amazon to make the deliveries on time. You know, I'd be with you, Matt, but why is it that Amazon can do everything right and that FedEx can do most things right and that UPS can do most things right, but it's always the post office dropping the ball? Always.
Well, that's because it's government workers.
If I have the option of, you may have to edit that one out. If I have the option of going with some sort of a third-party delivery versus the post office, I'm going third-party every single time. I don't care if I have to pay. If I'm worried about that package getting to me, I'll pay to get the correct delivery service handling it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what's disappointing to the most is the fact that this particular package that I'm waiting for is for my daughter for Christmas. She doesn't know that it's coming, but it's ultimately disappointing. And the fact that I can't track it and see where it is exactly, that's just, it's bothersome. It's now 5 days before Christmas. This thing was supposed to be here on the 16th, and it's 4 days late, and no ETA on when it's going to get to me. So.
Does she listen to this?
She listens to this, but I've already told her that I'm still waiting on something for her. I've actually told her, I said, you know what, if it doesn't show up for birthday, for Christmas, I'll just give it to you on your birthday, because she has a late January birthday.
No, that works.
Yeah. It works. It's kind of a little poke in the bear moment, but it's all right.
Well, I hope you don't have to wait till January to get it. That'd be rough.
Yeah, good old post office.
But yeah, I don't understand how Amazon does it and they do it so fast or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like some of the stuff that Amazon's doing. Like I noticed that they have kind of like a DoorDash kind of thing where you can sign up to be an Amazon delivery person. Have you heard about this?
No.
So it's basically just like a gig, like one of these gig things now. You can sign up and be a driver and just like pick packages up and deliver them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten like Amazon Fresh before, and I've just happened to catch them outside before they drop it off on the porch and like leave the email or text message or whatever. And it really is just somebody like stuffing the stuff in their trunk and like coming by and just like throwing it on your porch.
Yeah.
So I don't like seeing that. I mean, I don't know. I don't trust some of these people.
I mean, that's basically the same thing that regular delivery drivers do, right? They just throw it in the truck and then throw it on your porch.
Yeah, but, you know, I like to see the truck and the logo on the side of it. I just don't like to see it like a Toyota Camry pull up with, like, a donut on the, like, back right tire and, like, some guy just digging around in his trunk and dropping off my groceries on the porch.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't really bother me, so I can't really side with you on that one.
Nah.
I don't care. At this point in time, I wouldn't care who was making my delivery as long as that damn package arrived.
What do you want?
HDS, sir, and how are you this afternoon? All righty then. I have a package for you.
Sounds broken.
Most likely, sir. I'll bet it was something nice, though.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, food is a little bit different, too.
Yeah, food's a little bit different, but that's why you go ahead and visit your local grocery store yourself, and we take care of it. We go ahead, we clean up, we clean our stores, Matthew. We sanitize our stores. We've got strict cleaning regimens that we follow every single day at the grocery store, and we are constantly cleaning. If we're not stocking or ringing or helping a customer, we're cleaning. That's what we're doing, bud. We're going ahead and making sure that everything is all set and sanitary for our customers.
All right, well, I'll come by and see you sometime.
There you go. Speaking of coming by and seeing you, say, I have to come by and see you sometime soon. I'll go ahead and have to keep my distance from you, et cetera, but I may have a gift for Nickel and Nucky.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I would prefer to give it to you guys before Christmas so that they can have it for Christmas.
All right. That sounds good.
So we'll see if we can't work something out.
All right.
So why don't we get to what everybody is here for? Say it's not necessarily for the Christmas talk, but you know, nice little starter there. So we've got a little bit, very, very tiny little bit of Orioles-related news here. And the first thing is that Oriole legend Rick Dempsey has joined Twitter. So Oriole legend Rick Dempsey, go ahead and joining Twitter, joining the likes of legendary Jim Palmer. I can only hope that he's as entertaining as what Jim Palmer is. And I suggest that everyone go ahead and give him a follow. Matt, you want to go ahead and give him a follow?
Sure. I'll try it.
All right.
I'm not following Jim Palmer. Is that
That is at Rick24 Dempsey.
All right.
At Rick24 Dempsey.
I don't know how entertaining Jim Palmer is, but
Jim Palmer's fantastic on Twitter.
Oh yeah, what does he do?
He goes ahead. He comments on everything going on with the O's. He posts some insight into some of the players that we've gotten. So he's got like some insight into the O's acquisition. Garrett Stallings, which helped educate me a little bit more on the player. He's very vocal on how he feels about things. He's not necessarily a puppet of Masson. So he's mentioning that he's going to miss Hanser Alberto, and he mentions his feelings on the DH. I mean, this guy's always on Twitter and always commenting and talking about different things. Mm-hmm. So he's a good follow. He's a good follow. All right.
Maybe I'll get both of them.
Yeah. Give them both a follow here. So, but while we go ahead and mention it, you're gonna have to get the music ready. Say we're not gonna go into the whole list here, but just go ahead and get that music ready as I go ahead and pull this one up.
Okay.
So from Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles announced that they have signed infielder Chris Davis to a 2-year contract extension through the 2024 season. Here's to many more memories at Crush D19. And there's a picture of Chris Davis signing his contract. So, you don't sound too excited about this, Matthew.
That was on this date, you're saying?
What's that?
And that was on the, what are you saying? That was on this date that happened?
Nope. That was, this was 3 days ago.
Wait, say this again, sorry.
3 days ago, Baltimore Orioles tweeted, the Orioles announced that they have signed infielder Chris Davis to a 2-year contract extension through 2024 season. Here's to many more memories at Crush D19.
I guess I'm just like, I'm really confused. What the hell is going on?
Well, so here's what happened. Do you remember how B-More Center got on the list?
Oh, okay.
So here's what happened. That tweet that said Baltimore Orioles was actually Twitter sensation Nick Makakis, who handles the Twitter handle of @BananaSlapDick. And I feel nothing could be any more appropriate than that handle, that Twitter handle. So Nick used to be a good follow on Twitter. He still probably is a good follow on Twitter, but For this tweet, and not that anybody believes that it was really the Baltimore Orioles doing this, but just for this tweet and just trying to go ahead and aggravate people and tease people like this, you know what happens when you try to have fun at other people's expense by making us believe that Chris Davis was extended. Nick, my cake is. @BananaSlapDick, you just made the list.
Yeah, I mean, you threw me through a loop, man, because I had to. You just boggled my brain for a minute there.
Well, that's what they do. They change their name to Baltimore Orioles and then change their photo to the Orioles photo, and then instantly just tweet out BS and make you think that that's what it is. It sounds very, very much like our friend Dick Dan Clark Sports _ of what he did, but no, what they're doing is just wrong. So
yeah, that's ridiculous. He's not gonna he, They deserve to be on the list.
Yeah. So for the foregone future, we've got Be More Center and at Banana Slapdick on the list.
Let's just say at BSD. So we don't have to slap a parental guidance sticker on this podcast.
I'm only reporting what his name is. I'm not necessarily cursing. I'm just reporting what his name is.
Okay. So. Well, speaking of Chris Davis, I guess this came out a couple weeks ago. I just forgot to mention it. Did you see that article about Mike Borda talking about Chris Davis?
Refresh my memory.
So I guess Chris Davis did some interview that he expects to play and all this stuff, and he can't wait to get back there and play and prove that he's still got it and he's ready to give it another shot and all this positive, happy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Bordick replies to that with his own interview saying it's never going to happen. And it's a little disheartening because he goes into why and he talks about Chris Davis's work ethic and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he witnesses it. He sees it every day. And he says Chris Davis isn't the type of player to work on anything and try new things. And he just never sees Chris Davis breaking out of this. He pretty much just laid it out there. This guy's never going to be good again because of he doesn't put the time in to get better and listen to people telling him how to improve.
Yeah.
So for some reason, I always had it in my head. I always rooted for Chris Davis and thought well, maybe he's really trying and he's really, it's just not clicking anymore, but he's really trying and he's in the batting cages for hours a day, but apparently he's not. And he's not working on anything. You didn't read this?
I remember seeing brief parts of it, but to be honest with you, I'm not a big Mike Bordick guy, so I don't necessarily read too much into what he has to say.
Well, I don't mind him. I don't mind his commentary or whatever during the games, but I just thought it was crazy to see somebody come out and finally say they're seeing what's going on behind the scenes. And he just called him out pretty much straight up, says he's not really working hard on anything.
Ah, I apologize. I've got some text messages coming through as I'm trying to record here.
Is this from the good old Aldi?
No, this is from good old Mama Mason. So, when Mama texts you, you go ahead and you read what Mama's sending you.
Okay.
So she's concerned over the Kansas City Chiefs winning 32-29. And not scoring any more touchdowns for her son's fantasy football team.
Oh man, she is right in on it.
You gotta appreciate the love there from Mama Mason. You know, you really, really do.
Yeah.
The good news is that I've got a 2-point lead, and I've still got Deontay Johnson left to go. So as long as he doesn't fumble a ball or something, then I should be good, as my opponent is done for the day.
You should take him off. Take him off the bench or put him on the bench.
You know, that's a bit of a risky move.
Why is that? Unless they recalculate some scores or whatever.
That's what I'm thinking. If they recalculate some scores and all of a sudden, I lose 3 points or something, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I guess it's pretty rare for a receiver not to put up negative points. If it was a defense, I would definitely say take him out.
The other thing is that he's playing they're playing Cincinnati tomorrow, so there's little to no chance of that happening.
Yeah.
It's funny, say I almost picked up Cleveland's defense this week, and I decided to stick with San Francisco's, and they got me -2 or -4
points. See, that's dangerous.
Would have been the smart move to pick up Cleveland, so I could have just gone ahead and benched them tonight.
Yeah.
But, oh well. Anywho, I apologize. We're Your brother just texted me. I sent him an invitation to the podcast again, and he said that he's got to put all three kids to bed.
Yeah, you're hitting him at the wrong time, man.
Well, I can't help when we record.
You got to give him some kind of notice.
Who gives notice? We do things last minute. That's not how we do things here on the podcast.
People can tell.
Clearly.
All right.
So anyway, so Mike Bordick thinks that Chris Davis is trash, so there's no need to trot him back out there or anything. Yeah, is that pretty much
the gist of it? That's what he thinks, but I'm sure they're gonna trot him out there at least a couple times.
You know, maybe I'm wrong on Mike Bordick. Maybe I should listen to a little bit more that the man has to say. Yeah.
Follow him on Twitter.
So. I don't even know if Mike Bork is on Twitter. I'll have to check that out. That'll be your homework.
Well, one thing I do want to say now is please don't mess with Rick Dempsey too much. Let him get his.
I like Rick Dempsey. Okay. Right? Rick Dempsey's an Orioles legend. I love Rick Dempsey. I love the fact that he walks around Camden Yards all the time. He's always willing to, you know, give you a wave, give you a handshake, you know, say hello to you. So I love Rick Dempsey. You will not see me messing with
Rick Dempsey. Well, being a nice guy has never stopped you from messing with people before. So,
who's a nice guy that I've met with?
We don't have enough time to go over this. I'm just saying, he's a legend. Leave that man alone on Twitter. He probably doesn't understand what's going on yet.
I have nothing but positive things to say for
Rick Dempsey. All right, good. Let's keep it that way.
All right, so I mentioned to you earlier before we even started this that I had just a little bit of Orioles / baseball news, and we made one addition to the list. Well, guess what, mm-hmm. Matt? We're gonna add somebody else to the list here, and I hope they're listening because they follow us and they tag us in things all the time.
Okay.
So I really, really hope they're listening. Matt, we talked a little bit about the Austin Hayes Top Gun bobblehead over a few podcasts, you know, over the course of the year, and found out that it existed and that we can't wait to get our hands on it. And, you know, how are we going to get our hands on it? And the Bowie Bay Sox went ahead and said that if you signed up for, I think it was, what was it? It was like 8 games or 10 games or 10 tickets. For $80, and then you got a free Austin Hayes bobblehead as well. Something similar to that, right? So for $80, you could get the Austin Hayes bobblehead. Well, I thought $80 was a little bit much, because meanwhile, the Frederick Keys went ahead and released the Trey Mancini, the Adley Rutschman, and Grayson Rodriguez, all for $15 each.
That was the Shorebirds.
The Shorebirds. Thank you for correcting me. But yeah, so the Delmarva Shorebirds seemed to do things right. They released all of their bobbleheads for $15, made them affordable, and gave you an opportunity to go ahead and get them. So I suggested to the Bowie Bay Sox that they go ahead and do something similar. Release a bobblehead for $15-$20, give somebody an opportunity to buy it, you know. And all of a sudden they replied back, well, you can go ahead and bid on it on this auction. And at the auction, the bobblehead was going for $45 already. So you have had to place a $50 bid to go ahead and secure said bobblehead. And I haven't really looked to see how much the bobblehead eventually went for. But, you know, $50 for a bobblehead would be what you would pay for, you know, like an all-star player. Yeah. You know? It would have to be like a top-name player to spend $50 on a freaking bobblehead for. And when I mentioned this to the Bay Sox, they were just like, you know, they're like, well, or like, you can either bid on this auction or that's it. I'm like, well, geez, thanks. So I've been trying to contact them lately. I dropped them a little DM and said, come on, gang, I need that Austin Hayes bobblehead, but $80 is just too much. We're in a pandemic here. And got the little check mark, so they read it, but they didn't reply to it. And I just lost it. Now, meanwhile, they go ahead, they tweeted out something else, and I decided I would go ahead and take another opportunity, go ahead and mention that, you know, perhaps they should put the Austin Hayes bobblehead up for sale again for less than $80 or $44, of which, let's see here. So, yeah, they're advertising their podcast here. And after they had advertised their podcast, I replied back, release the Austin Hayes bobblehead for a reasonable price. And they simply replied back, the bobblehead is only available as a bonus through holiday packages right now. When the 2021 season gets up and running, we plan to have a Top Gun night where we will have the bobbleheads as a giveaway.
Well, there you go.
And I simply replied back with a gif of a cat sitting down saying, I'll wait.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, so now we're relying on the season actually happening. We're relying on them allowing fans into the stands. We're relying on, you know, there's a lot of little rely ons here. And it's like, meanwhile, you know, somebody might want to get this for themselves for Christmas. Somebody may want to get this as a gift for someone for Christmas. And not being able to acquire it for a reasonable price is very, very disappointing.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, so for causing me grief during the holidays and not allowing me to acquire the Austin Hayes bobblehead for a reasonable price, Bowie Bay Sox? No,
don't you do it.
You just made the list. Don't be stupid. That's right. Bowie Bay Sox. At Bowie Bay Sox, the organization, the Twitter handle, both of them make the list today.
Oh my goodness, come on now.
And if they want to get off the list, they can simply offer me the opportunity to purchase the Austin Hayes bobblehead at a reasonable price.
Wait a minute.
I'm not asking them to give it to me for free. I'm not asking for them to give it to me for free. I am asking them to give me the opportunity to buy it at a reasonable price over the internet so that I can have it delivered to my house.
What?
Because we don't know if there's going to be a minor league season, Matt. We don't know if there's going to be a minor league season. We don't know if fans are going to be allowed in the stands. We don't know if there's going to be a Top Gun. And those bobbleheads are just collecting dust right now.
Yeah. Well, they were supposed to be released this season.
Right. So they've already been acquiring a year's worth of dust. I mean, those things will have to be cleaned before they can be set out for display. You know, who's to say that they're sanitized? You know, that they're sanitized.
Well, I hope someone's wiping them down with Lysol before they give them to you.
You would hope, but who knows? Well, it's the Bowie Bay Sox.
Well, I thought this was going to be a happy ending. They said they would give it away during the season. But I understand. We can put them on the list, but I think they should be taken off if they actually have the Top Gun night.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Say, I'm willing to do that. If the Bowie Bay Sox actually do the Top Gun night and give away the Austin Hayes bobblehead, as they said, then I will take them off the list. But for right now, they're on the list. I hope they're listening.
Birdland Sports. For fans, by fans. Find more great shows like this at birdlandsports.com.
All right, so why don't we get into what we're truly here for? Let's talk about some Ravens football here. So, the Baltimore Ravens absolutely destroyed, demolished, embarrassed the Jacksonville Jaguars today. And they win 40-14. We saw the NFL debut of Tyler Huntley, fourth string quarterback, practice squad quarterback getting called up. So we saw his debut today. You know, he didn't really have a whole lot to do, but, you know, he looked pretty good. There were some drops that probably should have been caught, but he looked all right in cleanup duty. Lamar was Lamarvelous, 243 yards today, averaging 11 yards a pass, three touchdowns, one interception that he went ahead and floated up at the very beginning of the game. But he had a real good game. of course, Mark Ingram was ruled out for today. Calais Campbell was ruled out today. Marcus Peters was ruled out today. And, you know, Ravens fans, we had a little bit to believe that just like, wait a minute, all these guys are being ruled out. What are we doing? And the Ravens just decided to just go out there and not only score 40 points, but hold Jacksonville to 14. And honestly, that was when they were basically in prevent mode as it was. They were up, what's this, at least 26-7, if not 30, if 26-0, if not 34-0 before Jacksonville scored their first touchdown. So they were in prevent mode, they were in stay healthy mode, and yeah, that's all that was. If they wanted that game to be a shutout, I truly believe that they could have made that a shutout.
Yeah, it was a drubbing.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew throws for 226 yards and two touchdowns when it all comes down to it. But clearly that's not going to be nearly enough when your defense gives up 40 points.
Yeah, I mean, that team's just they've lost 13 in a row. I don't think it mattered that we had like four cornerbacks out or whatever. I mean, admit it.
Yeah, at some point in time, Marlon Humphrey was looking over to see who the other guy was on the other side of him and just looked at him and was like, who are you?
I think he went over and shook his hand because that was the first time he met him.
how you doing, man? I'm
Humphrey. Oh, no, but that seems terrible. And like, now that you did mention some stuff about the Jets or whatever before we recorded, it makes me wonder if they're just like coasting to the end of the season. You know, tanking.
You're talking about Jacksonville? Yeah. Well, you know they are now because we mentioned the Jets, like you just mentioned with the Jets. The Jets won today in an upset that, you know, it would have taken a true genius to have predicted this. But they just absolutely just stunned the Rams today. Okay. So they just absolutely just shocked the Rams. I don't know who could have possibly predicted this win right here. But
let me guess.
Either way.
Let me guess. It was you.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to go ahead and toot my own horn or pat myself on the back. But yes, I did in fact predict that this was. This was the danger game because I knew for a fact the Jets were going to win one. You don't see lossless or winless teams anymore. Every team gets a win at some point in time in the season. And everybody was talking about how the Rams were going to put up 40 against the Jets and, you know, make sure you start all your Rams, start Cam Akers, start Robert Woods, start Cooper Kupp, start Jared Goff. Start Tyler Higbee, start your kicker. Yes, it's rare that I know four Rams players, I know. But, you know, start everybody. Anybody that's in a Rams jersey, go ahead and start. And Sam Darnold, you know, he's playing for his job right now. He knows for a fact that if the Jets don't win a game, that they're going to be drafting Trevor Lawrence and that Lawrence is becoming the QB1 right off the bat. So Sam Darnold did what he had to do. He went out, he won a game. And Jacksonville did what they had to do. They lost a game. And Jacksonville at 1-13 now holds whatever the tiebreaker is over the Jets. And if Jacksonville doesn't win another game, they're getting Trevor Lawrence. I wouldn't be surprised if Jacksonville benches Gardner Minshew. Because you know Gardner Minshew's got that same attitude of where he doesn't want to lose his job, so he's going to go ahead and he's going to try and win too. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go ahead and they bench Minshew.
I thought you were going to say Sam Darnold was worried because Flacco was nipping at his heels.
Yeah, Flacco didn't look bad for a couple of games, and then he came down to earth, you know?
Yeah. But, yeah, I can't imagine, like, all these guys want to tank. So, you're right. it is pretty – I guess it is dangerous. But is this going to be another, like, first-round quarterback that's going to go to Jacksonville and just, like – and
be
just
terrible. Nothing? He's going to be Blake Bortles.
Well, he kind of looks like him. He's got the long hair, right? Am I thinking of the
– Did Blake Bortles have long hair?
At one point he did, yeah. Or somebody – who was a quarterback? No, there was one quarterback on Jacksonville that had, like, long hair.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to Jacksonville quarterback.
Yeah, I guess it's not important.
Yeah, not but really.
Yeah. But yeah, it felt like they were tanking or they're really just that bad.
Well, why don't we jump back a little bit into the Ravens here? So right off the bat, the one thing that stuck out to me was Project Pat. And did you see his first carry of the game?
Pat Ricard?
Or his first receiving pass of the game.
Yeah.
So Jean-Luc Picard just goes out there and just absolutely devastates. And the commentator for the NFL hit the nail on the head, and the Jaguar player just looked like a kid riding on the back of his dad, like while he was running. Yeah. And it was ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about like a 200-pound linebacker just literally riding on Pat Ricard's back, and he carried him like 10 yards. That was crazy. That was huge. That was awesome. So we want to make sure he gets his recognition for that. So he had that one reception, but I really feel like he only had two receptions.
Yeah, and it was funny because like you were saying, as soon as they put that Hundley guy in. The backup. They just started the playbook over again because that was the first play of the game, and they went right back to it. They showed the exact same the same patterns and everything.
Yeah, second verse same as the first.
Yeah, that guy did look pretty good. I mean, he was only out there for a few possessions, but he was like Lamar Light out there.
So his stats don't really show for him. So it's he was 2 for 4 for 7 yards and a 56.3 QB rating. But he also carried the ball 4 times for 18 yards, averaging 4.5 yards a carry.
Wait, he only had 18
yards? Because he downed the ball at the end of the game also, he had a 19-yard run. So... that was the big thing that everybody saw. Everybody saw the 19-yard run and was like, holy shit. And Lamar was going nuts on the sidelines. It was really awesome to see. So he had a good game. Lamar, obviously, we talked about already, had a real good game. We mentioned that Mark Ingram was out today. So Mr. Dobbins had a good game as well. 14 carries for 64 yards, averaging 4.6 and a touchdown. So he didn't have a huge breakaway today. He had an 11-yard carry, but honestly, it was just a lot of a little. Gus Edwards as well, 9 carries for 42. His long was 7. And I really think that this is the 1-2 punch you need. You need J.K. Dobbins in that receiving back situation. You need Gus Edwards to just go over there and just run it right up the middle and just punch people in the face. So Lamar only carried the ball 10 times for 35 yards, so no 200-yard rushing game for Lamar. And his long was 18. So he also had a rushing touchdown.
It seems like he had a better passing game today.
Yeah, well, for sure. His QB rating was 133.1, so he huge game. Only 243 yards, so it's, you know, we're not going to see the 300, 400 yards that you see, you know, a Patrick Mahomes or somebody else go ahead and have. But if he throws for 243 and 3 touchdowns and then runs for a touchdown as well, I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, plus we were up by like 20 points. You know, for the majority of the game, so he's not going to be throwing the ball too much.
Yeah, at halftime we're up 26-0. Why don't we jump into the receiving game, and I guess we'll just go ahead and jump into this right off the bat. Hollywood or Dollywood? All right, so Hollywood Brown today. Go ahead, take a look at the stats here. He had 6 receptions for 98 yards, averaging 16.3 yards a reception. Had a long reception of 44 yards, and all of this on 7 targets. So clearly, Marquise Brown was in fact Hollywood today.
Yeah.
No touchdowns, but definitely making sure that he caught the ball. 6 of 7, so you can't really complain about that. Dollywood did not show up today.
Yeah.
He is, as a matter of fact, say he led the team in targets, led the team in yards. You know, and again, the only thing that he didn't get was the touchdown today.
Yeah, he made us look kind of silly. Because last week we were just bashing the guy.
And you know what? I'm okay with that. And we'll you know, we'll continue to do this segment every single week where we figure out whether or not he's Hollywood or Dollywood up until he continues to show us consistently that he can be Hollywood. And when he shows me consistently that he can be Hollywood, we'll retire the segment.
Well, like you were saying, he does only work 9 to 5, and this was a day game.
It was, in fact, a day game.
But
1 o'clock, Hollywood.
Yeah, but pretty much everything I said was wrong from last week when I said he couldn't get open, because every time they threw him a ball today, he had like 5 yards on his defender. And
yeah, I mean, it was very clear that today that Lamar could trust his
Yeah, Soldier Boy had it today.
That's right. So, second to him was Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews had a hell of a game as well. So, 5 receptions on 5 targets. So, 5 for 5. He did not have a case of the drops. He did not have cement gloves on today. 66 yards, averaging 13 yards reception. And he even got the touchdown. And that was fantastic. I mean, that was a perfectly thrown pass. Of where, you know, Andrews wasn't necessarily open. It just, you know, Lamar just beamed it in to exactly where it needed to be, and Andrews hauled it in. So that was real good to see from Mark Andrews as well. His long reception today was 27 yards, which is always good as well. So I like to see Andrews getting those, quote-unquote, deep passes.
Yeah, he's like a receiver out there.
He really is. I think the surprising one, though, had to be the Gus Edwards pass. Lamar went ahead it was a broken up play, and you see him go ahead and airing out a ball like 30 yards, and you see the guy come down to it, and he's like, was that Gus Edwards? Holy hell, that was Gus Edwards. So Gus Edwards, 42 yards rushing, and then another 36 yards receiving. So he definitely had a game himself, so don't want to leave him unrecognized. But let's not forget Miles Boykin had a touchdown today. He had literally 1 reception for that touchdown, but he had his touchdown. But Matt, you better go ahead and get this ready, because we've been waiting for this for a long time. There's another guy who had 1 reception of 11 yards and a touchdown. Ladies and gentlemen, throw up the X. Dez Bryant got his touchdown today. X go give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X go deliver to you. So that's super exciting. It's great to see Dez go ahead and get his touchdown. He was super emotional. He immediately threw up the X after the touchdown was called. Lamar, they then zoomed back to X. Or zoom back to Lamar, and Lamar's throwing up the X as well. It was huge. It was an awesome moment, man. And to see a guy work as hard as Dez Bryant has worked and go ahead and just get this opportunity and be able to celebrate with his teammates, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good to see. And it's crazy how much, like, when a guy comes onto your team, like how little he like bothers you compared to, you know, what he was like when he was a Cowboy. Cause like nobody fanned him.
Well, again, I think there was some maturing that happened over the past few years too.
And the other thing is, I don't know what this X thing is. I actually don't know where this like originated. I have no idea what it means. Do you know what it means?
He just throws up the X every time he scores the touchdown.
So you don't know what it means either.
Don't you question my knowledge on Dez Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, the announcers are talking about it. Like, all the players were doing it. And I know I've seen him do this before on Dallas, but I don't know why he does it. I guess we'll never know.
Oh, I mean, I guess we can go ahead and ask Google.
seems like a good one.
Dez Bryant throw up the X? Let's see here. The special thing about me throwing up the X, the meaning is to X out the negative. Bryant explained after the victory. To beat the odds, to destroy adversity. That's what it means, and that's why I do it.
What? Okay. Yeah, that makes sense now, but why did he do it? Like, why did he do it early in his career? There was no negative about him. Besides his attitude, I guess.
Well, yeah. I don't know. He wanted a signature touchdown celebration, so that's what it was.
I didn't know if he was like a big fan of DMX or what.
No, I don't think it had anything to do with DMX, but But I guess we're going to connect it with music. Okay.
All right. That works.
All right. Fair enough. So, but yeah, so congrats to Dez for that. See, that's huge getting that touchdown. He was real emotional after the game, too, saying that Baltimore's got a special place in his heart now, and that all of his teammates are great and everything else. So, just truly humble, even in scoring the touchdown.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yep. So, so with that being said, what else you got on this game, Matt?
That's about it. One thing I wanted to, I don't know if we mentioned it, but you said Ingram was a scratch or whatever a couple times, but what I heard was he was a healthy scratch.
Yeah. So, you hate to see Ingram go out like this, but I think that he's mature enough to recognize that J.K. Dobbins is the future of this team. And he's always been a team player. He's always been supportive. So he's just stepping back. And, you know, he was on the sidelines for the game and he was talking, you know, talking to a team. You see him, see a few clips of him on the sidelines talking to teammates and everything and seemed in good spirits and all. So, you know, maybe he just recognizes that, you know, this is probably going to be about it for his Ravens run, you know, so sit back, enjoy it, and when your number's called, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see. I wonder how those guys feel when, you know, when they've been a starter for so long and then they get scratched like that for two players. But it seems like Edwards and Dobbins are clearly the future.
You got to remember, Mark Ingram was the two punch in the 1-2 punch with, what's the guy's name from New Orleans?
Kamara.
Alvin Kamara. Yeah. So, you know, he was already taking a back seat in that role as well. And, clearly the guy's got a maturity level of where he's prepared for this because he's dealt with it twice now. So, you know, props to him for being as mature about it as he has.
Yeah, I'm just saying it was interesting to see. I mean, maybe they made their choice now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, clearly the Mark Ingram's not the type of guy that's, going to, you know, just throw a temper tantrum or anything of that sort where people are going to look at him and just, you know, be like, gosh, what an idiot, you know, why this is ridiculous, you know, this idiot should be on some sort of list or something. but clearly Mark Ingram will never be on my list. He'll never be on the list. But since we got nothing else to talk about, let's go ahead and finish up with the list.
All right, let's get. It's been a few weeks, huh?
It has been. It's been a while since
we've had some additions, but we haven't run it down a little bit. All right, so let's start with the Blue Jay fan base.
Blue Jay fan base still on the list for being absolute trash, throwing cans at outfielders during games, and not even hosting their baseball team last year, forcing them to play down in Buffalo, I believe it was. So Blue Jays fan base still on the list.
Trashbag Charlie.
He's probably also contacting Billy Baysox, seeing if he can get a bobblehead for $5. I myself am willing to pay a good full price for it. But Trashbag Charlie is probably sitting outside the Baysox Stadium right now with his black trash bag in hand, asking for the Austin Hayes bobblehead and, again, offering $5. For that reason, he's still on the list.
Yeah, $80 for that Top Gun bobblehead is probably what Trashbag Charlie is going to be charging on eBay.
Probably.
So, we shouldn't have to pay that much. All right. MLB insider John Heyman.
So John Heyman, still on the list, absolutely, say he's blocking at Bleacher Birds for no reason whatsoever, to the best of my knowledge. Unless, of course, it was during a drunken Twitter fight, but, of course, I don't drink, so it couldn't have been one of those. So John Heyman, still on the list.
So Washington, the Washington football team's been taken off for beating the Steelers. But
correct.
We also had the fan base, the owner, and Espresso Elliott. Are they still on the list?
So I tell you what, Sam, I think the Washington football team's owner and Espresso Elliott should both remain on the list. We're going to take off the team, We're going to take off the fans and allow them both to enjoy that victory over the Steelers. They're both off the list, but Dan Snyder and Espresso Elliott are still on the list.
All right. Good. All right, next we got Bob Irsay.
Bob Irsay for trying to steal football from Baltimore and stealing it temporarily. May he have a unmerry Christmas and continue to burn in hell where he belongs and remain on the list.
That's the Christmas spirit.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right, next we got Matt and Josh.
No, so last week we took Matt Sirocco off the list for his birthday. And he's going to remain off the list. He hasn't done anything to bother me lately. As a matter of fact, in the poker game last week, he went down very humbly and did not come back. Poker game in which I took second place. However, we made the agreement that it would be a winner-take-all game. So you know who won that game?
Who?
Josh Sirocco. So you know who's going to stay on the list? Not only for a total jerk move of stealing BleacherBirds.com, but also for winning the poker game last week. Josh Sirocco, you're still on the list.
All right. At Dan Clark Sports.
At Dan Clark Sports is the immortal jackass of Twitter. He is the worst Twitter account. He is an Australian jackass that claims to be associated with the Orioles, claims to be associated with Major League Baseball. And truth be told, he's just a jackass on Twitter. And for that reason, he will remain on the list. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned at Dan Clark Sports, because I'm going to go ahead and pull this one up here. And the tweet came from the Iron Sheik. Are you familiar with the Iron Sheik, Matt? All right, do you follow the Iron Sheik on Twitter?
No, I do not. I got like four people to add now.
All right, so you need to go ahead and add at the _iron_sheik, because the Iron Sheik asked the question, who is Jabroni of the Year? And I went ahead and retweeted this and said, if your answer is not at Dan Clark Sports, you're wrong. There you have. Well,
sounds like you should stay on the list.
Dan Clark Sports is still on the list.
Ed from NDL.
Ed from the National Dodgeball League still on the list for go ahead and ruining dodgeball for everyone. Thinking that stingers are important, jumping onto good teams and, you know, allowing good players to go ahead and get out and have to play at a handicap for having him inside of it. As well as allegedly making moves on his executive assistant, Nicky. Ed, still on the list.
Nancy Napkins.
So, you know what? It's Christmas time, right? It's Christmas time. It's festive. It's holiday. You know, I'm feeling giving. I haven't found my wife's shirt yet, but she doesn't seem that upset about it. We got other gifts that we're going to go ahead and give her this year for Christmas, and I feel like she's going to be happy with those gifts. So, since the hot Irish wife is not holding a grudge. Jimmy said hot Irish wife, drink. Nancy Napkins, we're going to take you off the list.
This is a festivist miracle. We got people dropping off the list left and right.
I am not being a Scrooge this year, my friend, you know?
All right, well, next we got the Marlins. Let's see what happens here.
Oh, okay. They're still on the list. They're still on the list. The Marlins were the first team to go ahead and break out with COVID, going over to a strip club in Atlanta, allegedly. They're still on the list.
The state of Illinois.
So the state of Illinois for stealing our hashtag IL, which stands for idiot list, but Illinois has been using it for Illinois. They're still on the list.
Okay, DJ LeMahieu.
DJ LeMahieu stole Lay Machine from The Machine, which is Albert Pujols, and he's still Lay Unoriginal. He has not signed with another team, although I have given him that opportunity of if he signs with any other team than the Yankees, then he will be off the list. But since he has not signed with anyone else and still remains affiliated with the Yankees, he's still on the list.
MLB Europe.
At MLB Europe for sending Dodgers gear to European Oriole fans, Still on the list.
Okay. Our favorite, Chris Davis.
Chris Davis for being absolute cancer to Baltimore Orioles and just sucking money as well as the life out of the organization. Just keeping a position on lock so that somebody else can't go ahead and get called up or play or anything. Chris Davis.
Can we add apparently not working on anything in the offseason?
Clearly not working on anything.
According to Mike Bordick. All right, so not that Kevin Brown.
So not that Kevin Brown. Still on the list for thinking that that's funny. You know, if we think of Kevin Brown, yes, we are thinking of that Kevin Brown. We're thinking of the pitcher Kevin Brown. We're not thinking of this 12-year-old that somehow got a job in Orioles broadcasting. So not that Kevin Brown. You're still on that list.
Next, we got Tyler Kepner.
Tyler Kepner was the clown that went ahead and said that the Braves should go ahead and move their game because it was too late for the kids. And meanwhile, the kids are going to school online and, you know, not leaving their bedroom to go to school. And for that reason, you know, kids can watch the baseball game regardless of how late it is. And Tyler Kepner can stay on the list.
Justin Turner.
Justin Turner for celebrating the World Series victory while he was diagnosed with COVID, potentially spreading it to all of his teammates, friends, family, and loved ones, still on the list.
B-More Center, the schmuck of Twitter.
So at B-More Center, the official schmuck of Twitter, for trying to steal the Orioles name and just poking the bear. You can't be an Orioles account and then tease Orioles fans. And it's for that very reason that at B-More Center is on the list and he will remain on the list.
All right. Now we're going to move on to our newest wing of the edition here. The first one I got is at BSD. You want to remind me who that is?
That is Nick My Cake Is at Banana Slapdick. For go ahead and tweeting out that the Orioles have extended Chris Davis for another 2 years, thinking that that was funny. Changing his name to Baltimore Orioles before he tweeted it out so people would see Baltimore Orioles announce that they have extended Chris Davis. No one fell for it. No one thought it was funny. And Nick Mikasa is on the list.
Okay. This one's a little sad, but the Billy Bay Sox.
Billy Bay Sox 110% are on the list. Until I get my Austin Hayes bobblehead for a reasonable price, they're on the list.
Well, hopefully they get removed and that bobblehead comes out, but that'll do it.
All right. Well, that wraps up the show, Baltimore, Birdland, and Beyond. If you need to go ahead and reach out to us, I control at Bleacher Birds. Matt controls at Bleacher Matt on Twitter. We want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll see you next week for the last show of the year.
Merry Christmas.
See ya. Merry Christmas. Mr. Dobbins.